You became the Senate Minority Leader while you were in office.
Yeah, there were 48 members of the Senate, and still are, and there were 11 Republicans, and I was the leader of the 11 Republicans. That was the high watermark of Republicans at that time. Here's another example. I was always looking for, this isn't right. For example, the law on the commitment of alcoholics to a mental health facility, because alcoholism is a disease. The law required that the alcoholic, alleged alcoholic, commit a criminal act before you could have a commitment trial, which meant he had to beat up his wife, assault somebody at work, or burn down the house before you could have a commitment. So I wanted involuntary commitment of an alcoholic based upon a six-person trial in front of a district court where you could have professionals say this person is a real threat to himself or others. Interestingly, the bill was quadruple assigned, which meant it was intended to be killed because it was a Republican bill. Republican bills didn't pass. So I finally got it through all these committees, and here it was on the Senate floor. Finally, the bill is on the Senate floor. Herschel Crowe, who is the chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee from Aldis, who later, by the way, became my Secretary of Transportation and a Republican. Herschel Crowe stood up, a great big impressive man and a fine guy. He said, "Senator Keating, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but this is too important a bill to be handled by a Republican. So I asked that it be given to me, and I'll be the principal author." I didn't care as long as it passed, and it passed. What was interesting to me, and it showed the importance of this bill, there was a lady, and I won't mention her name, who's a friend of my mother-in-law's, who was the first, it wasn't called a defendant, it was called like a person who was to be involuntarily committed for alcoholism. I was the prosecutor. Judge McDougall asked me to be the prosecutor as a member of the state Senate, but to see how the bill would work. We had a six-man jury, and this lady was found to be in need of immediate involuntary commitment to a mental health facility for alcohol treatment. In those days, you went to a mental health facility. This lady looked like warmed over death. She was a good friend of my mother-in-law's, and they found her on a street in an alley in downtown Tulsa. About 6 months later, there was a review, and I didn't even recognize this lady. I mean, she looked like a whole new person. She was wonderful. But she had a lawyer, and the lawyer was just adamant that this was an unrighteous commitment, and he asked that she be released. The professional said, way too early, this lady needs more treatment. But again, we rebel against involuntary commitment for illnesses like that or diseases. So they let her out, and she was dead within 6 months. She drove herself to death. So I just see those kinds of things. Is that Big Brother? No, I don't think so. When somebody, you know, they use narcotics or alcohol to excess, to have the state help to say, look, you're a citizen, we got to help you, and we're going to make sure that you are treated and you turn your life around. I think is, for me, as a civil liberties guy, a part of civil liberties, saying that every individual human being has value, and we're going to help this lady. But I never forgot that, the difference. She was white as a sheet and just bloated and looked horrible. And then I didn't even recognize her when she came back 6 months later, and then she was dead within 6 months after that.